Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today, we have with us a special guest, but let me first start by thanking you for joining us today. We want to thank our longtime listeners, and even the first-time listeners. We know your time is valuable, and I think God has something to say to everybody in every episode. So let's see what he has to say to you today. And if this encourages you, we ask that you pass it along to a friend or family member to encourage them as well. And today we have with us a special guest. Her name is Brooke Varghese. And what makes Brooke so special to us is her husband actually helped us start the podcast. He was the one who advised us on what microphones to get, let us borrow microphones to get started until we could have our own. And then Paul Briggs with Briggs Electric in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, he even donated us the money to get most of the microphones. So like, it's just a whole local community bringing this to life. And God had me ask Brooke at our Christmas party for work to be on the podcast. So she said yes, and she's here to share some of God's goodness and modern day miracles perhaps. And we'll have her start us off with an opening prayer, and then we'll get into it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this opportunity today to speak to whoever might be listening. I pray that the words that we speak might bring your life and your truth to whoever may be listening. And God, that you might just guide this conversation. Holy Spirit, that your presence might be in this room as we speak, and that whoever needs to hear whatever we have to say may hear it, and it might fall on fertile ground. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So where would you like to start?
Wow, where would I like to start? As you asked me to speak on this podcast, I felt very humbled, and I was, you know, listening to a couple episodes, and there was a little whisper of doubt in my mind that was saying, oh, you don't really have that much to share, but I saw this quote by Corrie ten Boom, who was she helped hide Jews during Nazi Germany, and because of those efforts was sent to Ravensbrück. But what's most remarkable about her story is that afterwards she preached on forgiveness and God's love, even after everything she experienced. Anyway, she has a good quote that's, God doesn't need your instructions. He just wants you to report for duty. So I thought, okay, here I am reporting for duty.
Awesome.
And that kind of has been my mantra, I guess, or just trying to be obedient to God's word over the past few years, ever since he, I would say, recaptured my heart.
I love that. I love that whole quote. I love that whole story behind it. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, because I grew up in a Christian home, and I always knew that I believed in God. I went to church, did the youth group, everything like that. But I, at a point in my life, fell away from God. It's not necessarily that I didn't ever, that I stopped believing in him, but I stopped believing in his love. And it took me a while to find my way back. And I guess that's part of my story. So now I feel like I'm going to probably tell you my life story, if that's okay.
We're here for it. We have tissues.
Yeah. No, but I'll go to the beginning. But I know that one of the things to talk about today was, I, in the past couple months, released a couple children's stories, bitty Bible stories that I had felt God was pushing me to write. I've always loved writing, and I knew that I wanted to write something, but since becoming a mom and having a kid and reading a lot of Bible stories, I realized that there was kind of a lack of stories about the Bible stories told in a child-friendly way, like especially for toddlers, because their attention spans are short and they need big, colorful pictures. And a lot of the resources out there are great, but they are Bible book, like a book of Bible stories where each page is a different story. And so each story gets just like a little paragraph, which doesn't really get into the richness of the Bible story. So I felt, called to say yes and to write that. Yeah. So
that's okay. Awesome, because we are made in Christ's image, and he's pretty creative, being the creator of everything. And so he's being creative through you.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. In a million years, did you ever see yourself doing this? When you were 13 years old, you were like, one day I'm going to write some children's books for God because he's going to call me to do it. Would it even considered it?
I don't think so. I always struggled imagining the future, to be honest with you. And that might be part of when I was younger, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my.
So I had childhood leukemia twice. And wow. That sounds like a really heavy thing. It's just part of my story. And grew up saying that and always knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I've never really imagined my future. And I wonder if it's maybe because of that, like just
absolutely.
Taking every day by day or whatever.
And absolutely. It has everything to do with that. Of course it does. You know it does.
It absolutely has everything to do with it. I'm realizing more and more how, even though I grew up like saying that, I didn't realize the effect that that might have had on me until, you know, once you become a parent, you start to like really look in depth into why do I do this way? Mm-hmm. Do I want my child to be behaving that way? Okay, well, if not, then I guess I need to address my own behavior. And
yeah, they will be many used.
Exactly. I think God really uses the journey of parenthood to illustrate his own love for us.
Amen.
And his own
on
forgiveness.
On the nose. He absolutely does.
He's learned so many lessons.
Oh my goodness. God, I learn things the hard way all the time. And the easiest things that I've learned have been what he's shown me through our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so much easier than me learning it the hard way. It is literally inspirational when you have kids and the things that he calls to your mind about taking care of them and how he takes care of us.
Mm-hmm.
It is so, it's like comparing day and day. It's so like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. I love hearing about it. I love what you're doing with the books to help enrich the experience for the child. So it's not just a cursory mm-hmm. knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that literally tells them the actual story without just saying, this is what happened, and then we're done.
Right,
There's so much more to it.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of what, again, I have a daughter who's 2 now, and I now have a son, praise God. And actually, him being here is also part of this testimony. I know I'm kind of, I guess, jumping around in my chronological timeline a bit. But yeah, with the stories, I really wanted to tell more in depth. For example, when God says go, the Battle of Jericho, it's really hard to find resources on the Battle of Jericho for toddlers. And I know this because I also work part-time doing the children's ministry at our church. So I have been tasked with, writing the curriculum and finding resources for nursery. We kind of just play songs and play with the babies and create a welcoming environment, and the preschoolers and the elementary kids. And we found some really good stuff for elementary age, but preschool's always been kind of lacking. And I love that age because they're just so sweet and so innocent, and the stuff that comes out of their mouths is just so pure, but their hearts are so pure for God. They're open for it. They want to learn more about him. And so I wanted to, create some resources that parents or churches or whoever really could get. And then if you want to have a month-long lesson on the Battle of Jericho, you have a story that it rhymes and has colorful pictures and you can read it as well. So that's how, I guess, that was one of the big desires to do that. And I was very fortunate to find someone at the church who helped me in the preschool room, who is actually a very talented illustrator. And when I approached her about the idea, she was like, I don't know, I'll draw some pictures and you can tell me if you like it. And it was helpful having someone that I knew and was comfortable with, because maybe she would send me something and that would spark an idea that didn't really look like how I thought I wanted it to look. So maybe let's try this or try this, and we could just kind of collaborate. And that collaboration, made it fun and made it, I think, a better book in the end, because we were able to go back and forth without being worried about, this professional doesn't think that my ideas were good, so I guess I won't share them, or
it's funny that you say it, because I asked you before the podcast started if you had hired a professional, because they're really well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so your friend should hold her head up high for it. And your collaboration to get the effect that you're looking for, it looks tremendous. It's,
mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed. Obviously, you were there when I asked.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is awesome. Then, especially for young childhood, that colorful pictures are really important when you're telling a story and trying to keep their attention.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but that's the same for me. I feel like I've been called out as a toddler 6 times already.
You would enjoy this too, and the rhymes. So I love a good rhyme too when I'm reading the story.
Does it have the rhythm as well?
Yes.
Perfect.
Well, that was something I reached out to my sister, who is She majored in linguistics, and she speaks at least 3 languages, if you count Latin, maybe 4. Wow. She's very, very bright. I love you, Amy. And she would look at the stories with me and count out the syllables to make sure that they matched, because like the syllable and the cadence of it is what helps make this make a flow go. So she kind of helped me realize that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And now with those stories, when you asked me, like, did you ever think you would do this? When I had my daughter and we started reading together, and, you know, with the more that she became verbal, she would ask for the same stories over and over and over again. And I very quickly realized which stories I could read over and over and over again, which ones I was like, please not that one. That one is just not fun to read or whatever. I had in the back of my head like, oh, I could do this. You know, I think so. I think I could write a story. And I work at the church and I have a degree in early childhood education and experience teaching. But I often in my life need God to tell me something many times before I obey. And also sometimes I need a push. You're looking at Josh like, yep. Yeah, I can relate.
It's her. Yes. It's he has to tell her many times. And it's like, she says it's like a nagging after mm-hmm. a while. It's like an itch you can't scratch until you're like, all right,
it's
all right.
It's easier to just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, let me get the confirmation and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because on
it's
the
like a little kid.
Like there's a little fear, but on the other side of obedience, there is joy.
Yeah.
And you just have to get over that hurdle. And so it was when we were trying to grow our family. And I don't know if you know this, Shelley. I think TJ may have shared at work or whatever. We weren't having the easiest time. And I ended up having 2 miscarriages.
Oh, wow.
I knew about one.
Yes. The second one was bad because it was further along and we ended up in the emergency room.
Mm.
But praise God, I didn't need surgery. They were able to manually, I don't know what the word is, without surgery, remove what remained of the baby. So that was a really dark, that was a difficult time. However, I realized that I had a choice. I could either grieve with God or grieve without Him. And there was a point in my life where we lost somebody that I loved and I grieved without him. And that led to many years of just being lost. And it wasn't until God found me again and I met a true loving God that I realized, you know, that I needed to heal from those wounds. But so anyway, with this second miscarriage, especially because the first one, I kind of like, it was early enough that I just kept going, I guess. And then with the second one, it was like, oh, okay. And especially like being in the emergency
room. It was
room.
Easier not to think of it until it was
big
enough to think about.
Yeah. Like the first time, I think I was 5 weeks, you know, just taking the test. Second time, 10 weeks. So we were starting to tell people and tentatively like we had scheduled our ultrasound and, you know, a couple things where it feels more.
That's probably the one I know about.
Yeah, I think so, because I think I needed TJ home for a little bit to just, like, help.
And we have a great boss that lets us do stuff like that, too.
Yes, yes, so.
Props to Jeff.
Props to Jeff. Great boss. So when that happened, I chose to grieve with God rather than without Him. And I just felt, you know, it's like that hunger that the Bible talks about, like He is the bread of life. Like I was just hungry, like, God, what is happening? What is the future? Am I done? Is this our family? Am I broken? Like, you know, all those questions that many women experience. And it turns out it's a very common thing. And I want to talk about it because I know that it happens to a lot of women. I mean, I'm sure as a paramedic, like, you know, like this, it's way more common than people talk about. But it's still, just because it's common doesn't mean it's not difficult. And so turning
to
God,
especially if nobody talks about it, so nobody knows there's a resource with each other.
Right, right.
Right. So if God has us go through things so we can comfort one another, but we don't tell somebody what we're going through, how am I going to comfort you?
So
you're absolutely, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Absolutely.
And it's like that verse, actually, like I think about a lot, where it's like the God of all comfort who comforts you in your distress gives you that comfort so that you can go and comfort other people. I mean, that's how I want this to be. Because, obviously, it's still a painful thing, but I'm on the other side of it now. Praise God, we have a son. And that, after the second miscarriage, was like 6 months later. So I do praise that the Lord did bless us with another child. But it was
a big baby.
He was almost 12 pounds, so he was a very big boy.
That's a big baby. That's two Nathans, by the way.
And then some.
I know. He was the biggest baby in the hospital, but praise God, he's healthy and just adorable. Such a jolly little thing. But it was during that time of seeking when I didn't know that he was waiting on the other side. You know, I didn't know that God would bless us with more children, but it was like, okay, God, whether you bless us or not, like, here I am, like, yet I will still praise you. You know, actually the book of Hosea really spoke to me, or not Hosea, Habakkuk.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know where that, but Habakkuk is how I would
how I say it. Yeah. Do it. There's, for whatever reason, that prophet, the book of Habakkuk really spoke to me during that time. But during that time, you know, God is telling the Israelites, like, things are going to get worse. Like, you guys, it's not blessings on the way. It's bad times. I'm going to send the Assyrians to come and take over. And Habakkuk is saying, you know, though the land dries up and there's famine in the land, yet I will still praise the Lord. That really got me through. Like, it doesn't matter whether you are barren or not or whatever.
I think it's so incredible that is what got you through it. And then while you were leaning into him, the holy God, right, God Almighty, you were leaning into him through this whole experience. When you get through it, you have this boy that is clearly in abundance of a child, right?
It's so true.
He blessed you with more of a child, like a giant, healthy child, super right? As only healthy. God could do. Mm-hmm. That image with the little kid with his stuffed animal, and he's got the giant one behind his back. Like, he just wanted you to give you his hurt, right? Give me your hurt. And then he had this, boom, this giant baby for you.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's so incredible. Like, I think... Like, to me, it is. To me, like, it's blown my mind, the abundance part of it. Like, he just, like, he did allow you to go through something, but then he blessed you with more. Instead of two kids at once, like, just,
yeah,
like, that's an amazing baby.
He is. He really is. And his name is Boaz. So, you know. So we like that because it meant strength in Hebrew, and God is our strength. But it was during that time where I was searching, before we knew we were pregnant with Bo, that God just kept saying, just write, just write. And writing has always been my outlet. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been a journaler. I've always liked the idea of writing stories, but maybe not always had the discipline to finish them or see them through. But that combined with, you know, I'm still have to be a mom, still have to show up and read stories to my daughter, and wanting to read Bible stories because I need God, you know, in this time, and I don't want her to see mommy crying or whatever. And not really finding stuff there. And then also still showing up at church and trying to show up for the kids there and also trying to find resources for them. And God just kept pushing, like, just write, just write. So I just started writing little rhymes for the Bible stories, like especially Adam and Eve and Daniel in the lion's den. Those are the three that I have: Adam and Eve, Daniel in the lion's den, and the Battle of Jericho. But I'm working on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I think I got some good rhymes for that one. And then having the courage to not just leave it in a journal, which is what I've always done with my writings, but to actually like reach out to somebody who was a friend who I knew could draw and just kind of like float the idea to her and hear her kind of like hesitant enthusiasm. And then we just were working on these books for over a year. You know, we both ended up getting pregnant. But praise God, like, she was pregnant at the same time I was pregnant. So we both were like growing babies and writing books at the same time. Cool. And then right after I had my son and right before she had her son, we released the books on Amazon. And just has been really cool to see within our little community who has so far, you know, read them, the enthusiasm from the parents and the kids too. You know, a couple parents have told me that their kids love the stories, which just, you know, that is also an example to me of God blessing, you know, just saying yes, putting out there what he has put in your heart. And like you, Shelly and Josh, with this podcast, you know, if God puts it in your heart and when God puts it in your heart and you just show up for duty, you know, you're just, I'm here. I don't know what what this will do, but I'm trusting you, you know, through all of this. So it's been really amazing to see so far.
The connections are amazing. It's indescribable. And that's saying a lot.
You were mentioning a lot of things that you were going through while raising your daughter still and trying to keep it together and going to church and trying to keep it together. How exhausting was that?
It was exhausting, but I was choosing deliberately to seek God through it. And I had an example in my life of a time when I didn't, and I knew I didn't want to do it that way again. So my options are either you can turn to the what the world offers for solace, which is distraction or inebriation or numbing, you know, pretty much it's distraction or numbness, right? That's what the world can offer in terms of healing. Or you
it's like lidocaine. It's just a surface. It's topical. It doesn't really get to the issue, but it just kind of numbs the surface.
Yes, exactly. And it just prolongs the pain because you never deal with the issue. Or I could grieve with God and I could cry with him and tell him I was angry and tell him I didn't understand. And the more I told him I don't understand, God would use a podcast that a friend sent me, a YouTube video that another friend sent me, and then a sermon that one of the pastors preached. And again, I heard, I trust you with this. I trust you with this. It's like, okay, I don't know exactly what that means, but if you trust me, I trust you. And I will, here we are now, over a year later, with, I have a beautiful family, a beautiful baby boy. I have books that I only wrote because I was leaning into him, and I think I have hopefully a stronger faith that to weather whatever storms are still on the horizon, you know.
When you first started writing, when you first, not ever, but for the books, when you first heeded God's call to start writing, did you find any peace in that moment? Is that when you started finding the peace?
Yeah, because I believe the stories, but to take, you know, the first chapter of Genesis and try to distill it down into a 10-page children's story that rhymes, you know, I really had to sit with the text and learn more about it. Okay, what is God actually, what's actually happening here? You know, what is God actually can tell us through this story? If I'm telling this to a child, what do I want
them? Key takeaways
and everything. So it actually helped. Yeah, it definitely was a healing process. And I've always found writing to be a healing process for me because it helps me find the words when I might otherwise struggle or to express emotions in a different way.
I love that God knows that's a healing process for you. I love that he knows that. I love that he's using that. And I love that he's getting glory from that.
Yeah.
I love all of that. I love your obedience to it.
Well, thank you.
It couldn't have been easy, especially with what you had on your heart.
Yes, it's true, but like I said, I have an example of when I was disobedient, and I did not want to go back to that because, so to go back to my life story, I grew up, you know, I shared that like from the ages of like 2 to 7, battling cancer and everything. And I think that kind of always made me feel a little bit of like an outsider. Like one of my earliest childhood memories is being bald and at a McDonald's playpen and a little boy coming up to me like, are you a boy or a girl? Because I didn't have any hair, and being just like distraught. Fortunately, I have two big brothers who, you know, defended me and taught the other boy a lesson. I don't think physically, but they definitely laid into him and comforted their little sister. But, you know, just always kind of feeling like a little bit of an outsider. And then fast forward to when I was 15, we adopted my brother, who he, you know, coming into our family, he was the same age as me, and we were in the same grade and everything, and we became really close and kind of grew up together in high school and everything. Unfortunately, he committed suicide right before my 21st birthday. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I'm sure there's lots of people who have had to experience with losing a loved one, and to lose one in that way adds extra layers of anger, I guess. And so even though I had grown up in a Christian home, and like, I remember my brother and I would be like at youth group and stuff together. Like I thought I was a Christian. I believed in God, but my faith wasn't deep You know, it's like the parable of the sowers. My faith grew up, but the soil was rocky. And so as soon as there was some, as soon as that happened, I lost it. Or
was it a lot to do with it because as you were growing up, you were believing God on your parents' faith. Mm-hmm. And you never really established faith for your own. And then as you went to go seek out for it, you just like couldn't get your legs under you.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's it. I never really questioned. I never asked the questions that I needed to ask. It was just like, oh, this is what I believe because everybody around me believes this, but I didn't actually like wrestle with faith, you know, or wrestle with God until this time. And, you know, I was doing a Bible study recently and they were talking about the story when John the Baptist is in prison and Jesus is doing his ministry and John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus and says, are you the one to, or is there another one to come after you? Like, John knew that Jesus was the one, but he's sitting in prison. And Jesus' response is, you know, tell him that the blind see, the lame are healed, the dead are raised to life, and blessed is he who is not offended by me. And the commentary on that was, Jesus is doing all these wonderful miracles for other people, but John is still in prison, and he's going to die there. He's going to be beheaded because of a teenager who knows how to shake her hips, you know, that's offensive, you know, like why heal them and not heal me? And I definitely wrestled with that. I was offended. Why let my family go through this pain? Why let my brother die when others have when I would get angry if someone, like if I heard a story about someone who unsuccessfully tried to commit suicide, because it's like, well, why did they get a second chance and not him? You know, like I really could not see God's goodness through that for a long time. And that
there's spiritually awake walking Christians that are aware of their background that would have a hard time wrapping their mind around that, right? And you were in that juxtaposition between transferring from my parents' faith and establishing my own faith, and this happens. What were you going to do?
I mean, I walked away, and I didn't ever get to the point where I was like, there is no God, but I lived a life where it's like, God might be there, but he's not good. He's not for me. I mean, how could a good God let this bad thing happen? How could a good God, you know, all of the, it's a common argument that the enemy plants, you know, like, oh, if God is good, why would he let all the Muslims in the world, you know, like, why would he let so many other good people suffer? Why do good people suffer if God is good? You know, it's an age-old theological question that we all need to wrestle
with. One of their favorite questions and favorite theirs. I mean, atheists and things. And I believe that, and I honestly believe this, that most atheists, I don't know the percentage, I'm not going to lie, are believers. And they're mad at God because of something they don't understand, because of something they can't wrap their mind around, and they know that he is not good. They don't know the truth, but in their minds, they know he is not good. They know he's not for them.
They're offended by him, right?
They're absolutely, they don't want anything to do with him. But I got news for them that when they gave their life to Christ, he took it seriously. And you got called back, right? You walked away, sure, but you got called back. He's going to come back for you.
Well, yeah.
You know, you can't make a promise that he doesn't break covenants. You do.
Right, right. And he leaves the 99 to chase after you, which, you know, and I feel like when I look back, I saw how he was chasing after me. And I threw myself into, okay, well, I don't believe that God is good. I don't believe that Christianity has the answer. I don't know what I believe, but, you know, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. Like, let me just live my life the best that I want to live it. So I'm going to go travel the world. So that's pretty much what I did for quite a few years until it was actually when I was living in the Middle East, you know, where religion was dominant, but it was the religion of Allah and Islam, that I started to question, well, okay, so I don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad, but what do I believe? Because Islam has Jesus too, but they don't think he was the Son of God. They think he was just a prophet and that he could do all these miracles. Like, they acknowledge the miracles, but he never died and rose again. Like, everything, like, they believe Jesus did
That's nuts, because the rest of the book is true. Why not that part?
They believe that Jesus took like the path of Enoch, or, you know, that he just got whisked away. Mm-hmm. And then he gets come back, and he humbles himself before the seventh Iman, you know, and I was like, well, hold on, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, one day they're going to find out.
Right. Well, so what I was actually in a relationship with a Muslim man at the time, and thinking that we were going to get married, and, you know, like that was going to be my life. And I was surrounded by a lot of friends who were married to or dating Muslim men, like in the Middle East at the time. So it didn't seem like anything unusual, I guess, mm-hmm. to me. But it was, you know, and I give a lot of credit to my ex. He really pushed me to know what I believed, because he wanted to convince me of the truth of Islam. And the more he told me about it, the more I recoiled from that, because I was like, that is not that's not the truth. But I didn't know what the truth was at the time. Like, I thought I thought there was God, and maybe it was a God of the Bible, but I didn't know God of the Bible. I didn't have a relationship with the God of the Bible. So when he's telling me, oh, this is what the Bible says, I would say, I don't think that's right, but I guess I have to go and read the Bible to know if what you're saying is right or not. Like, mm-hmm. it's like someone telling me, oh, I heard this person say this. Well, okay, well, I can just go to that person and ask them whether they said it or not. Like, I don't have to take your word for it. I've got the book, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was through the conversations with him that I started to read the Bible again. And the more I read it, the more like, Jesus is just like, there's no other religion who has a God that came to this earth and suffered and was humiliated and lived a human, like a lowly human experience, to die for us. And it says he died for you and he loves you. That is not in Islam. That is not in Buddhism. That is not in Hinduism, like in the other world religions. So the more I read the Bible, the more I just felt like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is what I believe. Like, this is what I grew up on. I still don't know why bad things happen, but bad things were happening to these guys, and they still, like in the book of Acts, and they still believed, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like,
it ridiculously was... so. Mm-hmm. Like, the book of Acts is about ridiculous belief. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm getting stoned. No problem, Jesus. I love you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would have been my response, mm-hmm. you know, fetal position, maybe.
Yeah. But like that idea, and that's one of the arguments in Islam, is like, oh, it was corrupted by his followers. I was like, these followers were dying for him. And you don't die for a lie. You die for something you believe, mm-hmm. right? You believe with your whole heart. And they claim to have witnessed firsthand. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, in the Quran, it talks about how you're to look at the gospel and the Torah as reference. Mm-hmm. And then it also talks about how Allah never makes mistakes. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's all powerful, right? Mm-hmm. So if he knows everything, his word can't be corrupted. But he said, go look at these books. And now you're saying those books are corrupted.
Yeah, there's a
problem with that, like right away for me. I was like, hold up.
Mm. So you looked into Islam too at some point?
No, I looked at it as, I wasn't looking for it as a religion. I was looking at it as I was interested in what they actually believe. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if I'm going to, it's right after 9/11, if I wanted mm-hmm. to, I joined the military shortly after that. If I wanted to know, like Sun Tzu, you have to know your enemy, you have to love your enemy. So I had to learn who these people are, and I can't learn who they are with a bias. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of questions. I wasn't even a Christian at the time mm-hmm. when I discovered that, hey, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
Yeah. And I think what really turned me away the strongest, I mean, obviously there's a lot about the inferiority of women that isn't great in the Quran, but it was that you have to earn heaven. You have to earn it. It's all about at the end of your life, your good deeds will be weighed against your bad deeds, and whichever way that the scale horrible. Falls.
And there's deal breakers too. Like yeah. if you ever touch pork,
yeah.
like ever, you're done. That's it. The mm-hmm. ride is over for you. It doesn't matter how many, if you did 100% good deeds and 0% bad deeds, but mm-hmm. someone slapped you with a piece of bacon, you are done.
Or if you are a woman and it's your time and you try to pray, you're not allowed to fast. If it's your time, you're not allowed to come to God because you're unclean. And I think about that story of the woman who bled for 12 years and she touched Jesus's coat. And even in Judaism, like that would have been forbidden. But like mm-hmm. God doesn't hold that against you, because mm-hmm. it's not like you chose to be made that way. That's just,
I'm so glad you said that, because he has laid that on my heart before, that the things that we suffer from, it's not our fault,
mm-hmm.
right? The things that we choose to walk into sin with is our fault.
Mm-hmm.
But the things, the way we behave, our actions as a result of how we were raised, as a result of the things that happened to us, he doesn't blame us.
Right.
He doesn't blame us. That's why he calls us as sinners to him, because he mm-hmm. knows that we're not perfect.
Right.
You know, I say, Lord, please forgive me for I'm evil and stupid. And he says, I know, I love you.
Exactly. And he uses our weaknesses, we can be made strong in him. So like the fact that we struggle with speaking or whatever, then when we do speak well, all glory to God, or you struggle with anger. But if you do manage to restrain yourself and people see, oh, there's a difference in them, it's because of God, that's how our weakness can be made, can be made into strengths by him. And I couldn't see why I wouldn't follow the God of the Bible. Like, there's just no other options that I want. And I didn't want to keep living this, maybe there's someone out there, maybe not, I don't know. And once he captured my heart, I just said, okay, God, yes, question mark, let's see where this goes. And he led me to end that relationship, which, praise God, because I wouldn't have met TJ, my now husband. And it was because of God just transforming me that he was preparing me to be the wife that I needed to be. Like, I would not have been able to meet my husband if, I still stayed in the sins that I was living in, and the lifestyle and just all of the things that now I look back on, what was I doing? But at the time I was like, this is what you do, as a 20 something year old single woman, whatever. So yeah, I just really felt that when God called me back, I have tried to live my life where I just say yes in obedience to what he asks me. And so when it came to time to grieve again, I knew that this time I was going to grieve with him rather than run after whatever else the world had to offer.
I love that. I honestly haven't had a lot of tragedy in my life to grieve with him. So I love that, because I love to learn from other people's too. My dad got yelled at enough. I put the lid down. I've never had to get yelled at. And so I like to learn from other people. And I love that you're bringing this to light. And I hope other people like me learn from other people doing it wrong to say, hey, maybe I don't want to try it that way first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to try it with God first.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that looks like, because I've never had to go through it. So I'll keep an open mind.
Yeah.
Of what that looks like.
Well, I mean, it looks like, don't just try to get drunk enough that you don't remember. Don't keep trying to watch enough, binge enough shows that you forget the time. It means going to your Bible and just sitting with your feelings, sitting with God and telling God, I'm sad.
I love that. So good.
I'm angry. I don't know what, but like Job, cry it out to God and he's there. But the worst thing to do is to just ignore him or ignore the feelings, because they don't go away. They just fester and come out.
Yeah, they will get stuck, and then you'll need some Splunkna to release them.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean, I guess it's just, yeah, when I look back at my life and everything, and just, again, the genesis of these humble little children's stories that I wrote, it's just me trying to do like it says in Micah, to love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly with God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's do justice, love mercy. But either way, walk humbly with God.
For sure. Show up, and he will show up too.
I love it. I love it. I love what the end product is. I don't love the beginning where, that led to the end product. I'm so glad that you've worked through it. I'm so glad that God has been there for you through it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that you chose to lean into him. I actually want, I'm very curious about the books to actually read them. So we'll definitely look into that, or I will anyway. I just love to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Yeah.
You did great.
Thank you.
We were all worried.
Praise God.
We got through it. Yay. Well, if this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you pass it along. And if you could do us a solid, if you could rate the podcast in Spotify or iTunes, and let people know that you're loving it, it would be helpful. And let the algorithm know that people are loving it, and then it'll push it out to more people, and then more people can be encouraged. And also, we have a fundraising campaign that helps us with the audio expenses and other things that we have coming down the pipe. We're working on a kingdom conference, my first conference, and God's leading me to all of these people that previously put on a conference before. So I don't know what it's going to be like, but God's going to be showing up. So stay tuned for that. Pray over that for us. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.